I apologize for that confusion. My eyes aren't what they used to be. I remember it was about 5 years ago or so where I was writing the book After Suicide, and we had advertised in all our catalogs and online that the book would be available by a certain date. And then there was a problem at the printer that they had double booked, and we couldn't get onto another printer. And so they had to move it up by several weeks. And so I was working 18-hour days writing, staring at the computer screen. And about a week into it, my eyes began to swell shut. And I couldn't stop because we would miss the deadline. And my eyes started swelling shut. And I remember it was pouring eye drops in them. And I couldn't see the screen. And they were burning so bad. And ever since then, I've not been able to see without bright light. So I knew if there wasn't light on the altar, I wouldn't be able to see the text. With bright light and glasses, I'm able to see better, but I apologize I'm not able to see that. But it is tradition that the images are covered, the crosses are covered, and it is a somber time. And so it's kind of ironic that we celebrate in the middle of this mist St. Patrick's Day. Now, today is St. Patrick's Day. We don't celebrate him liturgically. You're not going to hear anything in the liturgy about St. Patrick, but the priest is still allowed to teach and preach about a saint, even if it falls on Sunday. And I felt he's so important because, you know, my love for the Philippines, but I've also recently, my effect from Ireland has been tremendous. President Kennedy, John Kennedy, was the first president, U.S. president, to ever visit Ireland. And he went there and he made the comment that almost in all the other countries, they export things. Countries export cars, or they export steel, or they export oil. He said, Ireland is the only one that is different. Its export is people. And that is due to different reasons, the famines where people had to flee, but also because they exported priests. When I went to Ireland, I've went there now a few times. We had 10,000 people at our Divine Mercy Conference, and I never heard, you've heard me talk about this before, I had never heard such suffering. And it occurred to me clearly that the Irish people are going through a purification. As I said a while ago, they were the first nation ever to vote in by the people abortion and gay marriage. And this was solely driven by propaganda media campaigns. But praise be to God, now a week ago last Friday, they brought up a referendum to the Constitution to vote to redefine, to remove marriage as part of the family structure. In other words, they were wanted to remove the Constitution reference that marriage is the foundation of the family, and then also to remove the role of the women in the society of Ireland. Well, it was rejected, and now marriage has been left in the Constitution as a foundation of the family. Praise be to God. Anyway, I think that shows the grace of God, the amount of prayers that Ireland, the people, have been doing, plus we have been doing for you in Ireland. I everywhere I go, I ask for prayers for Ireland, and we would like to help think that it was the Marian Helpers and the prayers for Ireland that helped contribute to that. I truly, honestly believe that. Ireland, it shows, still has faith, hope, and love, but probably a bigger part than even Marian Helpers doing this is St. Patrick. St. Patrick. Now, a little bit about this, because Irish history right now is being erased because it is tied to the Catholic Church. And not only did Ireland, you've heard me say this, save the church, but in many ways, it saved Western civilization. And this is because in the 5th century, and I'll talk about that more in a second here, but Patrick really had a lot to do with this, because at the time, the Irish lived in fear, terrified of monsters, sudden death, and instability in life. And so they would drink a lot, drink themselves, even what was called into drunken stupors, in order to sleep better. They were living in fear, and because of this, Maewyn Sukot, who became St. Patrick, from Patricius, he lived in the early 400s, he changed that. He was a missionary from actually Roman Britain, not from Ireland. He was not born in Ireland, but he didn't drink, and he provided something new to the people. What is this new thing he brought to the people? Christianity. And the Christianity that Patrick proposed worked because it took away the fear of this dark, magical world, kind of the darkness that we just had, you know, looking for that light. And once the Irish people were Christianized, they began to change the world. This is an incredible story. They copied books that were being destroyed by the barbarians. They saved them, risking their lives, the monks. They would do this. Then they would copy the books and then return them back to where they were stolen from by the barbarians. The literature that we all have today, our Latin literature, would have definitely been destroyed, lost forever without the Irish. And without books, without knowledge of the past, without the poetry, the art, entire cultures would have disappeared. But the monks saved them. And so with the help of St. Patrick, the Irish built monasteries, not just in Ireland, but all over Europe. And these Irish monks, they left their beloved homeland of Ireland and traveled all across Britain and into Europe, and bringing Christianity to all the pagans and the tribes that had swept across Europe. Europe was truly in darkness. And the Irish priests that left their own country brought it to the remaining world in a special way. You know, like even confessions that we have today and things, this all came from the Irish monks. And so in time, Ireland became the most Catholic country in the world. And it saved the church. There was turmoil going on then. We think we're in turmoil now. There was a lot of turmoil then, and this is always going to happen. There's no way to resurrection but the cross. And so the church has to imitate Christ. This is our head. And Christ had to suffer the cross before his resurrection. So will the church. We have to be purified. Ireland's going to be called by God, in my opinion, to do it again. I've said before, Poland is chosen because divine mercy came from there. They were the first nation in Europe to hold on to their faith after everybody else abandoned it. A spark comes from Poland. I believe the Philippines is a chosen people because they are that flame that will spark, or I should say the spark that it will be flamed, spread, is by the Filipinos. But it is truly Ireland that I have been saying is a suffering servant. In the midst of the chosen people of Poland and the Philippines, you have to have a suffering servant. And the suffering servant is Ireland. The stories I heard over there, unbelievable. I've never heard or seen anything like it. And so they need our prayers, and we have to keep praying. And I've been asking for prayers for Ireland. And again, I think the Marian Helpers had a lot to do their prayers with this last referendum that protected Ireland. But why? Because in 1984, 90% of Irish Catholics went to Mass. In 1984, 90% of Irish Catholics went to Mass. But by 2011, only 18%. Now it's even less. And so they need our prayers. So let's go back to St. Patrick, the real deal here. You know, he was a real person. People think that he wasn't. He was just legend. Yeah, he was real. Even though he wasn't born in Ireland, as we say, he may have been born, some say, Scotland, England, or even Northern Wales. But we do know this. His father was a deacon, and his grandfather was a priest. So he came from a family line, but he himself did not believe. And so this is a good saint to turn to. Some say that he was the first human in history in the world to oppose slavery, because slavery was such an accepted way of life then, going all the way back to the Romans and from before that to the Egyptians, as we all know. And what's amazing is this comes from the fact that he was a slave himself. What happened was that at age 16, he was captured in Britain and brought over to Ireland as a slave. He ended up being a shepherd, and it was just like Moses or David. It was this time as a shepherd that he began to reflect, pray, and had a spiritual conversion. So God brought a greater good out of his captivity. Now, what possible captivity could we have that would bring a greater good? You know, I went to Father Anthony for confession, and he's a great confessor. And he said, he comes to me to confession, and I go to him. It's kind of funny because we take the stool and we pass it back and forth. So sometimes he calls me, and I go to hear his confession. Sometimes I go to him. But he said to me, he said, you know, the greatest thing to see in all this is in the midst of our sin, it shows us how much we need God's mercy. We have it right there on our confessional door. The greater the sinner, the greater the right to God's mercy. And so if there's anything good that can come out of the captivity of sin, it is, you know, you need God's mercy. And that is the number one thing for salvation. ABC. If you know your ABCs and you live your ABCs of mercy, you will get to heaven. If you are lacking any one of the ABCs, you cannot get to heaven. And A, the very first one, is ask for God's mercy. And that's what you do when you go to confession. If you don't do that, we can't make it to heaven. We always point out Adam and Eve. After they sinned and fell, did they say they were sorry? The problem with Adam and Eve wasn't so much they sinned, it's what happened afterwards. Did they say they were sorry? Did they ask for God's mercy? No. They didn't. And so God had to bring a Savior to fix things. And B is be merciful to each other. This is where our Protestant brothers and sisters, God bless them, but they don't understand. Yes, we are only saved by God's grace, but we got to cooperate with that grace. Just look at the book of James. Look at Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. Jesus separates them, the king. And then says, when I was hungry, you gave me food. Thirsty, you gave me drink. Naked, when I was, you clothed me. In prison, you visited me. And welcomed into the kingdom of your Father. But to the goats, he says, you didn't do these things. Away with you into the eternal fire. We must be merciful to each other. Were Adam and Eve merciful to each other? No. I always laugh. Adam turned around and blames Eve. You know, Lord, it's the woman you gave me. She's the reason that I fell. They blamed each other. And so heaven, the reason we have to practice on earth to be merciful to each other is because we will be living with each other in perfect harmony in heaven. So we must be merciful. Sometimes the people that annoy you the most or the people that get on your nerves the most are the people God put in your life to be your cross to get you to heaven. And so we don't think about that often. And C, probably the biggest, ABC is completely trust in God's mercy. Did Adam and Eve trust after they fell? No, they ran and they hid. And so the Bible tells us we gotta have this. If we don't ask for mercy, the Bible says if you don't repent and ask for forgiveness, you can't enter the kingdom of God. B, be merciful to each other. The Bible tells us, Matthew 25, unless we do for the least of his brethren, we do it for him. And if we don't, away with you into the eternal fire. We must be merciful to each other. C, completely trust in God's mercy. Jesus told St. Faustina, the vessel by which all grace is received, and you want to get to heaven? I want to get to heaven. There's only way you're going to get to heaven. Our Protestant brothers and sisters are right. It is grace. Some of them say faith alone. That is incorrect. Romans 3:28 does not say faith alone. It says you are saved by faith. Martin Luther added the word alone. The only time the word faith alone appears in the Bible was James, who says you are not saved by faith alone. We are saved by grace, but we must cooperate with that grace. And that's what trust is. You cooperate with the grace that God gives you. And so in captivity, Patrick learned he needs God's mercy. And that's what even sin. Don't get discouraged if you are caught in sin. If you are so frustrated, I've met people who said, Father, I won't go to Mass, I'm a hypocrite. If I walked into Mass, the place would burn down. It's because we're caught in sin, we feel hypocritical. Don't, because from that God can bring a greater good, your recognition of the need for his mercy. That's the number one thing for salvation. And if God has to let you fall into sin, St. Paul tells us that the reason God allows us to fall into sin is so he can show us his mercy. That doesn't mean we want to sin. But don't get discouraged. Get up. Remember, saints are simply sinners who keep on trying. Can't say that enough. So anyway, to finish with St. Patrick, in this captivity, he recognized his need for God's mercy. He asked for God's mercy, and he managed to escape. He returned back to Britain at age 22. It was funny because he was sent to Ireland as a slave, couldn't do it, returned home, and then he had an inkling to go back. And I was reading this morning, and I was thinking, Lord, it's the same thing. I went home when I was first a seminarian, my third year with the Marians. I did my postulant year, I did my novitiate year, and I did my first year of vows, and then I went home. I thought I was called to marriage, and I went home. And then it wasn't long that the Lord put on my heart, it is time to go back. And when I'm reading St. Patrick, I'm like, wow, that's exactly what he did. He got out, he left, he went back home. And then he heard the Lord's voice saying, go back. And he did. He was inspired to return. Now, on his way back to Ireland, though, he went to France and he met his uncle. I bet you don't know this, St. Martin of Tours. This was his uncle. And there with him, Patrick vowed to become a priest. So he was ordained to the priesthood in 432. He became the one in charge of the Irish mission. And in time, he went, spread the faith west and north, where the faith had never been preached before. What an amazing person. So he went out, he got the protection of some local kings, he converted a lot of people, but he didn't outlaw paganism, he transformed it. You know the Celtic cross? Have you ever seen the Celtic cross with the circle in the middle? And people always say, that's pagan, get rid of that, that's evil. Well, actually, that's St. Patrick. He never outlawed the Celtic paganism, he transformed it. That's why he used the Celtic cross, to take the Celtic paganism and bring it to Christianity. So he converted many, such as a lot of women. They became nuns in the face of family persecution. He baptized thousands. He ordained priests. He started new Christian communities. Don't think you can't do something. He did all this with nothing. And in a short time, he Christianized basically all of Europe. This is amazing. And it stuck because he showed the people that they can live an honest, pious life without bloodshed, without war, giving them a purpose, a meaning. He taught them something. And real quick, I got 1 minute left. The topic about snakes, he drove all the snakes out of Ireland. Well, okay, there's no proof that there actually were ever snakes in Ireland. You know, there could be legend here, or the shamrock. Did he ever really use the shamrock with the three leaves and one little flower to show the Trinity? It was significant because many Irish pagan people had triple deities. Maybe not, but he himself did write of some of his miracles. He rose people from the dead. He really did. Now, his feast day is today, March 17th. As I said, we don't celebrate it liturgically because nothing trumps the solemnity of a Sunday. Nothing. No feast celebrates, or I should say, a feast of a saint. His day is today. This is when he died, depending on what year, 465, some say 493. But this is the day he died, March 17th. We know this. If you're watching from Ireland, this is a holy day of obligation for you. So definitely try to get to Mass today. In a land of darkness, St. Patrick brought a lot of light. And so, St. Patrick, thank you for bringing the light so that I can see. God bless you.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.